visit asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Morning, Zoe. Got donuts.
Jeff Bridges, why are you still living above our garage?
Well, I dig the mattress, and I want to be in a T-Mobile commercial like you. Teach me, Sildana.
Oh, no, I'm not really prepared. I couldn't possibly. At T-Mobile, get the new iPhone 17 Pro on them. It's designed to be the most powerful iPhone yet and has the ultimate pro camera system.
Wow, impressive. Let me try. T-Mobile is the best place to get iPhone 17 Pro because they've got the best network.
Nice, Jeffrey.
You heard them. T-Mobile is the best place to get the new iPhone 17 Pro on us with eligible trade-in in any condition.
So, what are we having for lunch?
Dude, my work here is done.
For 24 monthly bill credits on Experience Beyond for well-qualified customers plus tax and $35 device connection charge. Credits ended balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel finance agreement. iPhone 17 Pro, 256 gigs, $1,099.99 and new line minimum $100 plus a month plan without a pay plus taxes and fees required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data 1H 2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. It's been 2 years since Hamas carried out the surprise October 7th attacks with 1,200 killed and more than 250 others taken hostage. In Egypt, talks continue between Israel and Hamas on the U.S.-Gaza peace plan. Tomorrow, special envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner join the delegation. ABC's Jordana Miller is in Jerusalem.
I would say the one difference this year from last year is that there is a cautious optimism, a little bit of hope that maybe now with the ceasefire talks underway in Egypt, maybe we're near the end of this war.
More than 67,000 Palestinians have been killed during the war, according to the Hamas-run health ministry. The government shutdown entering its second week, the Senate voting on another stopgap measure today. President Trump also raising the possibility that furloughed workers, he says, may not all get back pay. Hurricane Priscilla strengthening in the Pacific, now just shy of a Category 3. This is ABC News. Supreme Court justices hearing arguments today in a case involving conversion therapy. That's the practice of trying to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity through treatment. The Colorado case involves a licensed therapist who offers faith-informed counseling. That's clashing with the state's law banning the practice, saying it harms young people. Here's ABC's Devin Dwyer.
The justices really wrestled with whether these types of laws that restrict what counselors can or cannot say when treating young people who are struggling with their gender identity or sexual orientation need to be held to a very high standard because it involves free speech. And today, I would say a majority of the conservatives did appear inclined to hold this law and others like it to that very high bar. Not entirely clear how they would come out, but they sure were skeptical of any of these restrictions put on counselors and how they talk to young people about sex and sexual orientation.
Justices will issue a decision in the spring. Michelle Franz and ABC News.
As a fan, you know all the important sports cliches. And when you save money by bundling your home and auto with Progressive, you can get out there and give it 110%, even though that's mathematically impossible. And remember, failure is not an option. Well, it's always an option, just not a good one. But you're not worried because you've got ice in your veins. You're on fire. How can both of those things be true at the same time? Well, that's between you and your doctor. So get out there and leave it all on the field. Leave what? Who cares? Just leave it and save with a bundle from Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Right now at the Home Depot, shop fall savings and get up to 40% off select appliances like Frigidaire. Get ready for a season of hosting with the Frigidaire Stone Bake Pizza Oven, the only oven that reaches 750 degrees for restaurant-quality pizza in as little as 2 minutes. Start making hosting easier with fall appliance savings today at the Home Depot. Only when using Stone Bake Pizza Mode. Offer valid October 2nd through October 22nd. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. Wisconsin farmers, particularly soybean growers, are expressing concerns about the impact of the Trump administration tariffs on their overseas markets. Congressman Tom Tiffany says those concerns are being heard.
I think we're on the cusp of seeing some of that tariff revenue, which is significant, that is going to end up back in farmers' pockets because they're bearing the brunt of it.
Tiffany, who's running for governor, commented at the recent World Dairy Expo in Madison. Wisconsin farmers typically export about two-thirds of the roughly $1.3 billion worth of soybeans they grow annually. Universities of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman made a stop at Green Bay Southwest High School Monday to encourage students and families to fill out the free application for federal student aid, or FAFSA, for the 2026-27 academic year.
Just before the government shut down, the Department of Education issued a memorandum indicating that the FAFSA process was going to continue. And the last statistics available nationally is that this was one of the best starts to the FAFSA process ever.
The FAFSA became available to high school students last week. Two people have been arrested after hundreds of animals are rescued from a Wisconsin Dells area property.
The Juneau County Sheriff's Office says Dean Lurins and Amy Thomas face numerous animal neglect charges. On Friday, the Sheriff's Office responded to a property in Plymouth Township following reports of animals on the loose. An investigation of the property determined a significant case of animal neglect. Nearly 400 animals in total were located on the property, including 81 dogs, 10 puppies, 120 26 rabbits, 5 horses, 136 chickens, and 35 goats. The animals were surrendered to authorities and are now with numerous animal welfare organizations and shelters. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN Radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of sunshine, a few clouds around the area heading into your Tuesday afternoon. Northwest winds and highs in the low to mid 60s. Tonight, frosty out there with clear skies. Lows will drop into the lower 30s. Frost advisory in effect. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, it's 64.
Corn and wheat futures were lower, and soybean meal didn't do anything to help stem the selling either. Bean oil pulled bean prices to the upside, but cotton prices fell to a new for-the-move low. Lean hogs were lower, and the cattle complex worked higher with new contract high close in feeders.
Live from Temperature Turndown Tuesday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Terry Lynn from the Lynn Group. Directly following the news, Brian Split from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Murray.
All right, Davis. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Everything good?
64 degrees and overcast skies here in the city of Kansas. Feels pretty good outside. I'm liking
You know, this morning you had a question for me, and I didn't know if I wanted to ask you about it either.
Uh-huh.
How's your sports interest level now? I mean, has it been completely washed away?
I'm afraid
Are you
so.
Still willing to pay attention? What's the status?
I don't know. Only to pester you, I guess, is my level of interest in sports. I didn't even watch Monday Night Football last night. I didn't even look for it. Yeah.
Oh,
I was
my
doing
gosh.
Other things. I know. That's where I'm at. I've had
wow.
it.
Wow.
I absolutely had it.
That would qualify as zero interest.
I
there
won't even
is.
Listen to Taylor Swift's new album. That's how much I hate sports right now.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. I have no interest in sports, Michelson,
mm-hmm.
and glad that you are with us on this Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah,
we're going to talk with Terry Lynn about what is going on in these markets, and kind of you can't call it unprecedented times, but we can certainly call it unusual times for the markets right now, dealing without any information from the government. So we're going to get. We're going to lean on Terry a little bit and say, okay, what do we need to do? What are the things that you are going to watch on a day-to-day basis to help you figure out the direction of these markets going forward? So looking forward to that conversation with him.
Dude, look at them cattle continuing higher today.
This, can we call that unprecedented? I think maybe we can.
You can in feeder cattle, I think, because it is an unprecedented high close.
Excellent. Now we're getting somewhere. That's something I can pay attention to.
There. Well, good. Let's pay attention to the rest of the market news.
Well, Chip, the U.S. dollar index traded higher overnight and throughout the day session, and that made it difficult to generate buying interest in wheat futures. Wheat demand has been good, and reports indicate Bangladesh approved the purchase of about 220,000 metric tons of U.S. wheat. The sale is reportedly a government-to-government deal that was part of the trade negotiations between the United States and Bangladesh. December soft red winter wheat futures opened slightly higher near session highs and ended the day near session lows. December hard red winter wheat futures 3.5 cents lower, 4.92. December soft red wheat down 6 cents to 5.06¾. December spring wheat closed at 5.52. That's down 4.5 on the day.
Yep. Okay. So now what we will be doing is watching the cash markets for any signs that exporters are trying to cover those needs for that export sale to Bangladesh. It seems like there is some demand showing up here and there.
Well, pro farmer crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisor trimmed his national average corn yield one bushel to 181 bushels per acre. Dr. C says the dry finish in the east and disease issues in the west will maintain his lower to neutral bias for corn yields. Traders are looking for signs of demand in corn. Basis levels along the Mississippi River are indicating increased demand, and corn spreads suggest a good upfront demand, with nearby futures gaining on back-month contracts. December corn started the session slightly lower and rallied to spike resistance at last week's high before falling back to post a low-range close. East corn, 2 cents lower, 4.19 and three quarter. March corn, down 2 cents, 4.36 and one quarter. May corn futures close at 4.45 and a quarter. That's down 2 cents on the day, Chip.
Yeah, so that spread action was happening earlier in the session because in the close, they took all the spread movement out of the first three contracts.
Well, pro farmer consultant Dr. Cordonier held his national average soybean yield steady at 52 bushels per acre. Dry conditions in the eastern belt gave him a neutral to lower bias on the bean yield going forward. Traders are looking for progress on trade talks, and firming bull spreads and basis are raising speculation. Demand is working back into the bean market. December soybean oil used positive biofuel news out of Indonesia as support to post an upside breakout from the two-week sideways trading range. November soybeans opened slightly lower and near session lows, rallied to spike resistance at yesterday's high before posting a mid-range close. November beans were 4.25 higher at 10.22. Jan beans up 3.25, 10.39. March beans closed at 10.53. That's up 2 cents today.
There's the bull spreads. Bull spreads were happening in the beans.
Well, the rug was pulled out from under the cotton market with prices falling to the lowest level since April 4. December cotton today was 68 points lower at 64.46. Stocks, another report of new world squirrel worm detection in Mexico on Monday gave feeders traders confidence the border with Mexico will remain closed. Fed cattle supported by higher boxed beef. Dease live cattle, $1.05 higher today, 237.72.5. November feeder futures, $3.45 higher, 364.25. And lower cash hog and pork product prices pulled futures downward. December lean hog futures today down $1.10, 86.17.5. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Brian, splitagmarket.net. Hey, Brian, how's it going?
I'm doing great, fellas. What's going on?
Well, just hanging in there, watching this feeder cattle market continue to work to the upside. What are you seeing?
You know, I think something to point out is that we're kind of continuing a process that we've seen throughout the beginning of the year, which is buying early in the quarter. You know, back in the first quarter, it really just established a set of lows throughout the whole quarter. And then when we got to second quarter, at the beginning of the quarter, we ran for about 2 months. We consolidated in the third month of the quarter. And then at the beginning of the third quarter, away we went. And actually, it's interesting, if you think about the August feeder contract, and that contract expired the second month of the third quarter, as does the November feeder contract, but for this fourth quarter. And so we had consolidated in August feeders early June to late June. And then on July 7th, we took out the downtrend of that consolidation, broke out, and that started a run all the way to expiration. So it's interesting. Today's October 7th. We took out the downtrend today. We had a new high close for the contract. Is this the beginning of another run? And by the way, that low that we had in July that started that rally was cradled by the 50-day moving average in both feeders and fats, just like it is in the current setup.
Dude, when patterns start to repeat, you got to pay attention, don't you?
You pay attention when it repeats, and then you pay extra special attention when it deviates, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that is exactly the case. But, boy, it's going to be hard to get in the way of this market here for a little bit, isn't it?
You know, the technical outlook looks very sound. And back in July, if you just did the measurement of the bull pennant, it projected to where we went. This current measurement would project up to about 4.25 for Jan feeders.
Wow. Jeez. All right, buddy. Hey, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks for taking a good look at that feeder cattle market for us.
Likewise, fellas. Have a great day.
All right. Brian Split, agmarket.net. Coming up next, Terry Lynn from the Lynn Group here on AgriTalk.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, and every season.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Trade deals, federal budgets, regulations, uncertainty abounds wherever you look. But one thing seems certain, the 2025 corn crop could break records across the United States. Talk with an AgMarket.net hedging strategist today, and we'll help you cut through the noise so you can make informed decisions based on facts. Our experienced team offers farmers and producers commodity brokerage and consulting services, global perspective, local insight. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading. Futures under
option. From raging storms and relentless winds to unforgiving heat, Proven G3 from Pivot Bio just keeps working. Featuring the only gene-edited microbe continuously fixing nitrogen in the presence of synthetic nitrogen, Proven G3's three modes of action, feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential day in and day out. Learn more about Proven G3's durable nitrogen delivery at pivotbio.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Yeah, good perspective on what's happening there in that feeder cattle market. Really an impressive move that we're seeing in there again.
It's
again.
When patterns start to repeat, you start to pay attention.
If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, Chip.
Pay attention.
That is correct. That is correct. Oh, man. Maybe I've said that before. I don't know.
Seems like it. I seem
well,
to recall.
Well, we've only been doing this for like, geez, 12 years, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, I mean...
Do we have to make a new version with Brian Splitt saying, but we pay extra special attention when there's changes?
Get me the tape. Send me the tape, brother. Remix. Yeah. Remix is coming.
Remix. The remix is coming. Terry Lynn from the Lynn Group joins us right now. He is our guest analyst. Hey, Terry, how's it going?
Hey, good, Chip. Hey, Davis. Good to see. Good to hear you guys again.
Excellent.
Hello.
Glad that you are with us. Dude, can you believe it? We did not get the crop progress report. We did not get the crop condition reports. And somehow, some way, the corn, soybean, wheat, cotton markets, they still found a way to trade.
Yeah, it's frustrating to not have all of the tools available to us that we count on. And over time, that becomes almost a compounding factor each week that you go with not being able to kind of true up the data points, it becomes more difficult. The market's handling it pretty well. And I think that if you go back to the previous shutdown in late 2018, early 2019, the March corn and bean futures during that shutdown period actually gained a penny or two over that period of time. And so I think that the shutdown almost acts as kind of just it dampens the trade in terms of volume. And maybe just kind of keeps the markets more of a choppy pattern than rather trying to price discover without all of your data available to you.
Yeah, Terry, you're making a great point here. And I continue to hear arguments of, well, okay, what we're going to prove here is that the markets really don't need this constant flow of information from the government. But at the same time, the markets have shown us in the past that without the information, they take on a go-nowhere attitude, go-nowhere trend in the price pattern, right?
Yeah, and I think you have to break down the market participants and what their objectives in the market are. Obviously, we're in full-go harvest mode, so you've got commercial hedging. Selling on that side of the market. And then we've got end user markets and export markets in the case of corn, at least that are that have margins and are robust in terms of corn export demand, giving you a buyer on the other side. So we've got a pretty well balanced marketplace at the moment. And what you're missing is the speculative drive and spec traders that don't feel like they have the edge that they normally could maybe have with a full slate of data have stepped back. And if they're trading smaller size or maybe not trading at all, what shows up in the reduced volume.
Yeah. Okay. So it's looking very likely that we're going to get past Thursday without the crop production and the supply and demand reports. What do you anticipate from the markets in a response to no October crop production report?
Probably more of the same. We have the trade estimates as compiled by the media, and it gives you an idea what the market's thinking today. But like I said, every week or every report that goes by where you don't have that kind of true up data point, that's where you're disparity of high versus low estimates will continue to grow. So that becomes more problematic. But for the moment, we haven't been out in the cold for too long, if you will. And I think the market has a good sense of what the numbers might look like today. But that becomes more challenging the longer this thing drags on.
Right, right. Okay, the longer this thing drags on, I don't even want to talk about the government staying shut down into November and putting the November crop production report at risk. I don't want to talk about that because I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to get this solved before then, aren't they?
That would be my feeling as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. What are you hearing on harvest reports, Terry?
Harvest is you have a lot of really good crops out there. Let's just start with that as the base point. And we knew through the first half of the growing season that things were almost ideal for most of the country. Then we ran into some hiccups. We went dry in August and first half of September through the lower and eastern belt. We encountered a pretty substantial disease issue in the corn crop. And so, you know, we had kind of a peak in terms of bearish mentality in the month of August. And that was showing in some of the yield estimates that were out there. But now as we're getting into harvest, we're starting to see some of the warts on these crops. And while they are still very, very good crops, just not as good as were the markets were thinking or the USDA was projecting back in late summer.
Have we... let's use Dr. Michael Cordonier's estimate today. 181, I believe, is the number that he put out there. I'm going to check that here real quickly. Yes, 181 bushels per acre. If we get a 181 from USDA eventually, what kind of an impact does that have on this market?
Well, you know, maybe there's a initial bullish response, but that the reality is, as you work with the balance sheet, is that there's a lot of room on the demand side to offset reducing the yield. And even if you're going down to a 181, which I would say is probably on the low end of the range of estimates out there, you can look at numbers, particularly the feed and residual side, that has plenty of room to take that down to a more realistic projection. And so in terms of carryout, I don't think it's makes a whole lot of change and is probably something that will start to walk that direction with lower yield and lower demand. But at the end of the day, your ending stocks stay relatively stable.
Okay. All right. 52 bushels per acre on the national average soybean yield is the estimate from Dr. Cordonier. Same kind of attitude there?
Yeah, that's very close to what we published it in our production estimates last week. We initially came out with a soybean yield of 52.5 in September. And for this month, we lowered that down to 52.1. And that was based off of the finishing crop conditions. And bean yields require good moisture in August and first half of September to attain that highest end yield potential. And we didn't get it. And we had really good crops, particularly to the west and in the upper Midwest. But these areas east of the Mississippi, to paint it with a broad brush, just didn't have the finishing moisture. So while you had these massive pod counts, you just didn't have the rainfall to help kind of fill in the BB size. And I think that's showing up as we're getting into some of these, particularly the later planted bean crop.
All right. Terry, I wanted to use last year's performance east of the Mississippi for kind of as kind of a model for what we might see this year. But I'm picking up it's a little bit better than what it was a year ago. Not a lot, but a little bit. Is that kind of where you're at?
I think that thought process makes a lot of sense. You know, we had a great start to the growing season. The soil profile was healthier coming into this growing season. It's just that the finishing weather it didn't quite complete the picture there.
Right. Okay. What about the demand side of this bean market? Man, oh, man, there's been a lot of talk about it, hasn't there?
Yes, and this is the tough one because, as you're talking about walking down yield, you'd think that's going to be a bearish or a bullish influence on the market.
Yeah.
As we're walking the yield down, just kind of like what I think we're going to do with the corn balance sheet is that, every week that goes by without China is that you have an opportunity cost and lost export in terms of this seasonal window. And so you have to be taking your exports down also. And so we might be narrowing the range of what our carryout projection might be, but it's still a very wide range and still a wide potential outcome depending on when or if a deal is reached.
Okay. All right. We are in the middle of a conversation with Terry Lynn from the Lynn Group. What I want to talk about next is we've talked about the basis of the supply and the demand that we've got. What are the markets telling you, Terry? I want to talk about that when we come back. The spread action. What are you seeing from the cash market? Who's participating in these markets right now? Today's guest analyst, Terry Lynn from the Lynn Group, here on AgriTalk.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. Where December hard red winter wheat futures were 3.5 cents lower at 4.92. December SRW wheat down 6 cents to 5.06¾. December corn futures 2 cents lower on the day, 4.19¾. March corn down 2, 4.36¼. Novi beans 4.25 cents higher, 10.22. March beans up 2 cents, 10.53. December cotton today was 68 points lower at 64.46. To your livestock, these fed cattle $1.05 higher, 237.72½. November feeder futures $3.45 higher at 364.25. And December lean hog futures down $1.10 to 86.17½. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of sunshine, a few clouds around the area heading into your Tuesday afternoon. Northwest winds and highs in the low to mid 60s. Tonight, frosty out there with clear skies. Lows will drop into the lower 30s. Frost advisory in effect. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, it's 64.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. We are having a conversation with today's guest analyst, Terry Lynn from the Lynn Group. Terry, who's involved in this market? Earlier you mentioned the hedge sellers that are in here. Who else? Who else is involved in the corn and soybean markets right now?
Yeah, so you've got, I think, the kind of the core fundamental users of these markets that are still very much involved with less of the speculative flow, although we did have the quarter-end, month-end, where fresh flows were definitely active in the marketplace. But I think your day-to-day speculative trade has been reduced because of the uncertainty. But yeah, you have your commercial hedge selling here every day. You've got end users who are not rushing to buy any rallies, but on breaks, they're there to extend coverage on weakness. And you have these the technical posture in the corn market, at least, where it looks like we have stabilized the downside risk in the market despite the size of the crop here. And it looks like we're trying to turn the charts more into a sideways trade instead of a extended bear market. And so I think you have end users that are paying attention to that and looking for spots on weakness to step in and extend coverage.
Yeah. That Dease corn just keeps coming back to 420, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's been the magnet here of late. And you know, we've had a couple of stabs down below, but finding limited follow through. And so the market's showing some resiliency with that. Now, it's been a struggle on the rallies. There's just a lot for sale above the market, too. And so it feels like we've got a fairly well-balanced market at the moment with good buying underneath it and plenty of selling here every day and above the market.
Yeah. So without any shocks off the supply or the demand side, this thing could pivot around 420 for a while, couldn't it, Terry?
It very well could be. The market's acting comfortable with this near-term range that we've been setting up. In order to kind of shake these markets out into something new, I think you have to introduce some sort of supply threat as we're getting into the Southern Hemisphere growing season. But today, there's nothing that really stands out as anything concerning. It's very early, obviously, down there. And in the world crop scene, there's not anything that's particularly alarming. And, you know, just the opposite. We've had very big crops grown around the world here that has given us a comfortable global supply situation.
Yep. Okay. What signals are you picking up from the way that the structure of the corn and the soybean markets, the way that the up until the close here today in the corn market, the bull spreads were working earlier today, bull spreads worked in beans. Is it telling us anything?
Well, you're exactly right. That was the feature in what it was otherwise a kind of featureless flat price market. You've got the bull spreads that are trending up right now in corn and beans both, which is very interesting. I think that reflects the producer who is just not selling the bushels off the combine in the expected volumes that maybe the buyers were thinking, that he's storing as much as he can, particularly for the soybeans, where there's hope that you'll have better price opportunities down the road.
Okay. You know, it's pretty easy to look at the bull spreads and say, hey, look at that. We must have some demand coming in, but I like the point that you're making. It could just simply be the fact that everything that's possible is going into storage, whether it be in a bag or a bin, and the enthusiasm to sell at these markets is pretty low.
Yeah, I think that's a accurate assessment. And as far as export demand, yeah, we're kind of flying blind without USDA announcements. We think that corn export demand continues to be very good. The export numbers that they did print this week for corn were very impressive. We've got our export pace is running, I think it was 56% ahead of where we were this time last year. Just very impressive. But on the other side, you've got the bean market that's digging a bigger hole, where the week prior we were running, I think, 16% ahead of last year's pace. And then with this week's numbers, we're now 15% behind.
Yeah. Yeah. And that bean export pace looks like it's going to get well behind before we start to catch up. If we start to catch up, I was arguing that second half of October, November, that China would have to come in and buy some U.S. beans. But after buying those beans out of Argentina, they just, you know, they just bridged more of the gap between their current supplies and the Brazilian supply. I don't know. Are they going to have to come in and buy?
I suspect the answer to that is yes. Could they potentially bridge the gap and leave U.S. beans out this season altogether? They might be able. They replenished their government reserves. They bought up all of the Brazilian beans. And, yeah, with these bushels or cargoes they bought out of Argentina, they might be able to bridge that gap. But I think that in doing that, they would kind of cut off a key component of supply and pigeonhole themselves into the South American market. And I think that they're smarter than that in not wanting to put all their eggs in one basket, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. They need a constant supply of soybeans out there. And if the U.S. has, you know, quote unquote, has to be part of that supply chain for China, that should be something that they would be willing to maintain and go forward. But boy, oh boy, man, if we go much longer here, I just wonder how much longer beans are going to carry a $10 handle. It could turn some pressure. What about when you look forward at what you know about the markets right now, Terry, how do you see them trading into the end of the year, corn and soybeans?
Well, I think with corn, we've kind of talked about what the expectation is, that we're going to be a two-sided market, a better balanced market. But what you just said about holding onto this $10 handle on beans, I think that, yes, there is downside risk here in the bean market, but there's also upside risk. And I would argue that the upside risk is greater than the downside if we were to strike some sort of deal anywhere in the 30 to 45 day window or something like that. So it's a tough market right now. Beans, fortunately, you've got option volatility sub 14%, which gives you an excellent vehicle for managing your risk or your risk positions by putting options against them, because you just don't know how this is all going to play out.
Okay. On that risk management side, when you're having a conversation with your clients right now, Terry, what does that conversation sound like? What are you thinking about doing?
I think it's still a marketplace in corn and beans both, where you want to be a seller of strength. And I think you'll have those opportunities. But like I mentioned, particularly with the bean side of things, And I don't see the upside potential in corn like the same way I do as beans. Putting some cheaply priced options against short positions is a good approach. Or if you're a producer and you're selling your crop off the combine, just re-own it with some call options or a call spread. And they're attractively priced, and they don't seem to be factoring in the upside risk here in terms of the option pricing.
Yeah, and with the volatility as low as it is, you can buy a little extra time in here, can't you?
That's right. Basically, for the cost of storing your bean crop, you can replace that with call options and have the flexibility of maneuvering around with the paper instead of the actual physical.
Yep. All right. What do you make of the cattle trade, Terry?
Man. Well, it continues to amaze. We've kind of shifted gears a little bit and turned sideways over the past couple of months. So that is something that has changed. But we still have fundamental reasons to justify where we're at, I think, with the continuing to be closed. And doesn't look like we're going to eradicate this screwworm issue anytime soon, I don't think, although the colder weather might be a factor with that. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see what happens there. But we did see the cash prices slide some. The market is showing a little bit of give along with the futures, but we are still hanging on here. And I think that there is still some potential for new highs, but we are, if I was to put my guess out there, I would say we are in the latter innings of this game in terms of this bull market in cattle.
Okay. All right. I don't want to take that as a sign that, because Terry, my opinion on the trend in this market is even a sideways market is still pretty doggone bullish in fed cattle right now, isn't it?
It sure is. And, you know, with the feeder cattle, we got renewed buying interest after the stocks report. And, you know, feeder cattle buyers are seeing cheap feed around for the foreseeable future. So that's going to help continue to at least underpin the market.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that at least the downside risk should be limited in here. I don't know if market has to go a whole lot higher. But
well, famous last words, but yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and then all of a sudden we pull a cotton and the rug gets pulled out from underneath it, and we're making new lows. Real quick, anything on hogs?
Hog market, you know, we had this peak last month. Can we extend it a little bit further? I think it's possible. We haven't done any real damage to the charts other than correcting off the highs. And so I wouldn't rule out this thing having another leg up. But certainly we're in elevated territory here in hog prices also.
Yeah, we are. But boy, that hogs and pigs report that we had last month, it's showing a tighter supply out there. Terry, thank you so much for making time for us.
Always great to be here, guys. Thank you.
Excellent. Terry Lynn from the Lynn Group here on AgriTalk.
With Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, you can easily find the right home insurance for you, even if it's not with Progressive. But if you don't choose us, then sure, okay, it's not going to work out. We're not going to cry about it or stay awake wondering what our future together would have looked like. We can't get emotionally invested, even if it sounds like we are. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer allows you to easily compare home insurance rates and coverages in one place, even if it's not with us. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. I love you. I shouldn't have said that.
Let me tell you about this new pretzel cheddar club. Hey, I'm Carlos.
And I'm Ebony. And a little thing we love about the Chick-fil-A pretzel cheddar club
is the tangy Dijon with the pretzel bun. It takes it to a whole nother level.
It goes perfectly with the chicken and the cheddar cheese and the bacon.
Man, you know how much you love bacon. And I love the different varieties. Grilled, spicy, the original. It gets you nice and excited for fall.
Order the pretzel cheddar club with cherry, berry, and Sprite for a limited time on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Hi, it's me, Flo, here to tell you that with the Progressive Home and Auto Bundle, you get 24-7 protection, so you're covered no matter where the day takes you.
Even, I added too much water to the pizza dough day?
Yep.
How about getting a call from my daughter to pick her up at the airport because her boyfriend is unreliable day?
Especially that day.
What about finding out that one of my pipes suddenly burst in my basement day?
Progressive has every day covered 24-7 with a Home and Auto Bundle. Also, you have a lot of bad days.
Oh no, that was all the same day.
At least you're covered with Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-745-3070. That's 800-745-3070.
And while you're at it, introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Ty Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com. What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive. Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Your pal, Davis Michelson, Chip Flory. I believe what he's describing there, Chip, is a form of goulash, isn't he?
I think that, yes.
Wouldn't you call it goulash? I tried to write that in my notes here, goulash. Is there a C in the word goulash?
Yeah.
G-O-U-L-A-S-C-H. Does that sound right to you?
So. Yes.
That looks weird to me.
Well, all right. I think that's right. I think, boy, now you got me wondering. Go ahead. What else you got?
Is there anything pork can't do? Well, here, let's, this morning on the morning show, we talked a little bit about some of the impacts to farmers on the government shutdown, and I want to tie this into the conversation with Terry Lynn, a great conversation, Terry Lynn from the Lynn Group. But this, according to an Iowa Agriculture Water Alliance press release. So the IAWA put out a press release. The federal shutdown effectively freezes nearly all USDA-funded ag conservation work, with 95% of NRCS staff furloughed and program payments paused. Mm-hmm. They put down here farmer takeaways, a couple of bullet points. Number one, all USDA conservation technical assistance is halted. Number two, now this could be a big one, CRP and other payments usually sent in October are delayed. The October 10 conservation funding deadline for the year still stands. Once again, this from the Iowa Ag Water Alliance, they pulled from an NBC study here. NBC compiled the length of shutdown since 1976, the longest on record, 2018, 34 days. Mm-hmm. 2013, there was a 16-day shutdown. 1995, we had 21 days. And all the way back in 1978, I was in grammar school, 17 days we were shut down. Now, with Terry Lynn, he talked about, you know, he kind of started off talking about what happens to volume. Volatility takes a little chop out of the commodity markets. Chip, the longer we go on, the less information that we're getting, the more we sort of have to rely on dead reckoning, on speculation. Mm-hmm. Once that information starts to flow, what do you reckon that some surprising numbers come out? When I'm thinking about harvest numbers.
Yeah.
When do numbers that we, you know, can finally hang a hat on finally come out? What do they look like? And is there a play here if we're expecting one way or the other?
Okay.
Am I crazy?
No, you're not. You're looking for answers. Mm-hmm. So you are not crazy. First answer, no C in goulash.
No C in goulash.
No C.
Second answer.
First things first.
The is one of the reasons I said to Terry, okay, who's in this market? We've got the hedgers.
Right.
Well, you know what? The longer-term speculators, maybe they're not participating as much as what they once were, but you still get the day traders in there. They're still doing things. One of the reasons I asked that question is because based on who is participating and how the markets are performing, it can tell us and give us some hints of what the overwhelming market features might be. Mm-hmm. Now, with the way that the corn market traded today, not so much yesterday, but today, with the way that the corn market traded today, the overwhelming feature is harvest.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's happening. We know it's happening. Is it a surprise? No. Does the market have to absorb some selling because of harvest? Yes. Yes, it does. So, therefore, the market's under a little bit of pressure. Now, soybeans showed us that yesterday. But today, we got the bean market following the bean oil market to the upside based on some biofuels news out of Bangladesh. So that is creating a little bit of blurriness in the outlook. But it's tough to argue with what is happening in the spreads. And when the bull spreads are working, it feels like there is, should be more than feels like, it is an indicator that there is some demand that is starting to slip into the market. That's the indicator. But as Terry said, it could also just simply be the fact that the November was trading at a discount to the January discount to the March discount to the May discount to the July, with the idea that as this crop is harvested, it would move at a normal seasonal pace into, you know, through the system, mm-hmm. through the system. Well, if farmers have decided that they're not going to go with the system and that they are going to find anywhere and everywhere that they can to store away every bean that they can without putting it on this market, that can be a disruptor. That can mm-hmm. be a disruptor. It's got me thinking that we need to check with the bag salesman out Ooh, there.
That's a good okay? idea.
Yeah. You know, the guys that are selling temporary storage mm-hmm. and just saying, you know, is there any way that you could let us know? Did you sell more bags than you normally would? What is going on with it out there right now? Because we know we lost permanent storage up in the Northwest to some storms in June.
Yeah.
So, I was ready to get all fired up about, look at this, there's got to be some demand coming in. Mm-hmm. But Terry made a great point. It could just very simply be the fact that the markets, and the bean markets in particular, anticipated a normal seasonal type movement of the crop, and it's just not getting it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's part of the fun of having these conversations now, isn't it?
It sure is. Yeah.
National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for October 13th through the 17th. Above normal temperatures expected across the entire Corn Belt. Above normal precipitation expected across most of the Corn Belt, including northern Illinois, northern Missouri, and points to the west and north of that. Near normal to below normal precipitation expected to the south of that. All right. Thank you so much for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. We got Jim Minter from Purdue here on AgriTalk.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
Sherry, what have you done to your hair?
What do you mean? Does it not look good?
It doesn't look good. It looks freaking amazing. I can't believe how thick and healthy it looks. Oh, I must know your secret.
No secret. It's Hair Volume from New Nordic.
Hair Volume, huh? Well, it certainly lives up to its name. Your hair has never looked so thick. It is gorgeous.
I was so tired of having thin and brittle hair. Ugh, and the shedding. So I figured I'd give Hair Volume a try. Needless to say, I'm thrilled with the results. Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to pick up some Hair Volume right now. My reunion's next month and I want my hair to look as good as yours.
Hair Volume is the best-selling hair tablet in the world and one of many award-winning natural health products from New Nordic, the number one supplier of dietary supplements in Scandinavia. Purchase at newnordicusa.com or your local Walgreens, Rite Aid, or CVS. Available as a tablet or delicious gummy. Help your hair look full, voluminous, and beautiful again at newnordicusa.com. Walgreens, Rite Aid, or CVS.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. As the government shutdown carries into a second week, President Trump says not all furloughed workers may be entitled to back pay. It comes ahead of another Senate vote today on